God, things stink right now.
Robert, I think you need to turn your mic on.
I think you're right. That concerns me.
Thank you. Tegan, you're wonderful. Thank you. Because you know how insecure I feel about that already. So, guys, we have a God who cries, who likes for us to cry out to Him. And He doesn't always answer the way we want us to. He doesn't always answer immediately. But He is the God who is Emmanuel. He's there with us. I think of it truthfully. Like, I know Maria worries about this, but we have a great example of it right now. He's crying out to Maria because for some reason, he's hurting. And he cries out to the one that he trusts. And I know it can be frustrating for us as parents sometimes, but it's also this great honor. They trust us. They cry out, and sometimes they cry out because we're the ones causing the pain, and they still go, "You're the one who brings me comfort." So we sing these songs, and if you notice, they weren't positive. I mean, how long is literally an accusation? But I don't know about you, I felt like that. Like, God, this stinks. How long do I have to go through this? You're the God who bears His arm and armies flee. You're the God who stills the storm. You're the God who lightning is nothing before. How long? And He still seems to say wait sometimes. And sometimes He doesn't even answer, but He's still there. So I'm glad you connected with the songs. I would encourage all of us to read Lamentations. We tried reading it in our small group a while back, and we read it, and then we tried to study it at first, and it was like, this is not very studyable. And we just read it. So we're going to do Lord's Supper. And so we have a couple of guests who have not been here with us for Lord's Supper before. If you are a professed believer in Jesus Christ, you can have Lord's Supper. I don't give a diddly darn what church you go to. What I care about is if you can say Jesus is Lord, then you can take Lord's Supper. And the reason we're doing it today is typically I would read from 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about it, but the passage that we are doing, because we're going through the Gospel of Luke, is Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. So we're going to do the sermon first, and then I'm going to show you a video, and we're going to do the Lord's Supper together. But if you would turn in your Bibles or on the bulletin in front of you or watch the screen behind me, we are in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I'm going to steal your chair, Fonda, because Drew's was further away. By the way, if I know for some people standing up during singing is very important. If you need to do that, please do it. Every now and then, I like just sitting while we sing. It's comforting to me, if that makes any sense. And I think a lot of hymns are comforting. And a lot of hymns are like, God is awesome! And I like that, okay? I like standing, but there are times where I just want to sit and be comforted by God. So, this is what the word of the Lord says. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read through verse 23. Now, the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to his house, to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover and with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they entered they prepared for the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of he who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays me." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. I guess I'm going to show you a commercial. And if... Noelle, are you vegan? I can't remember. Is there anybody... I know... I don't know why. I thought she might be... No. But so like... you're not. So we have some dietary. I know that Robin is vegan, and I was going to apologize for part of what I'm about to show you. There's nobody else in the room that's vegan, is there? I think you'll get it. She would get it anyhow. I'm going to show you a commercial, and I'm going to show you a commercial because I actually think it's a good example of what Jesus is doing in the Lord's Supper. You may have known this commercial. You guys saw this commercial last night.
Hello, folks. What floor?
Oh, we're car shopping.
Ah, you're going down. Way down. This floor, root canal.
Oh, this is bad.
This stop, jury duty. Remember, innocent until proven.
Well, he did it, right? We all agree he did it?
Okay, 6-hour flight, middle seat. Who's got vitamin C? This floor, the top.
Your body's changing. My body changed. Even Grandma's body.
Vegan dinner party, is that even a thing?
We're having beetloaf, Sergio's specialty.
Why, thank you.
Yay!
Car shopping, off you go.
No, sorry, we're getting a Hyundai.
Yeah, we used Shopper Assurance. It was really easy.
Hyundai, going up.
Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Transparent pricing, streamlined purchase, a 3-day worry-free exchange, and test drives that come to you.
Not so fast, Captain Colin, back it up. Thank you.
It's car shopping made better.
Me for just a little bit. I'm not trying to sell you a Hyundai, even though we have one and I like them. They're great cars. I'm bringing this up for another reason. So anybody know who Malcolm Gladwell is?
The guy who played the elevator?
No, that is not him. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a couple of books, one called Blink, one called The Wisdom of Crowds. My personal favorite of his is a book called David and Goliath. He's in this genre where the entertainment is the insight. He goes, we tend to think of it this way, but it's actually like this. And that little twist is where the entertainment happens. Like David and Goliath is all about how your weakness quite often is your strength. And he's put up, he does a podcast called Revisionist History that's really good. And if you like music, he does a podcast on music called Broken Record, which is absolutely amazing. And I was listening to Broken Record recently, and he talked about the podcast guy, or the other guy on the podcast, is the guy who's the producer for the Beastie Boys. And he talked about how he loved jingles, because he said, if you can write a good jingle, you can write a good song. And Gladwell talked about how he was fascinated with commercials, because his whole point was, a really good commercial is the best form of storytelling, because you have all the elements of story and plot in it, but you have to do it in 30 seconds to a minute. And how incredibly difficult that is. So here are the traditional elements of plot, okay? You have an introduction. If you think about it, every story happens that way. Some of you can probably think of a few famous ones. Anybody? Once Upon a Time is a classic one. Call Me Ishmael is one of my favorites. Jane Austen being quoted in the room. Some of you don't say I get excited because that's like my wife's. She doesn't have any favorite book because that's like saying books because that's like saying you have a favorite child.
Oh, well, we do.
And she has a favorite book. She just won't admit it. Guys, we we have these introductions. Then in introduction, you have the rising action where you're beginning to see what happens. Then you have the climax. Then you have the falling action. And then you have the resolution. And a good commercial does all of this. We just watched that commercial. The commercial was like 45 seconds long. What did it convey to you? What was it? Not about Hyundai. What was the story there? Yes. And Noel, as a person who's doing it right now, it stinks. Most of you guys know I'm not a jerk, okay? I'm not typically a jerk, and I was with Noah at something, and I was a jerk responding, because I want a hatchback. Actually, he wanted a hatchback. We're looking for a hatchback, and I go to this one car lot, and a hatchback is a specific body style, okay? If you look on Edmunds, it's going to say, what style of body do you want? One of those is hatchback. And I think that a car saleswoman or man should know what their body styles are. But what it was she wanted to sell us a crossover because crossovers have a higher profit margin. And I went up and said, I'm looking for a hatchback in this price range with this much mileage. Well, and I said, do you have any? And she said, well, it depends on what you mean by a hatchback. And I said, what I mean by hatchback is a hatchback. And then I apologized to Noah after we left because I realized I'd been a bit of a jerk. It brings out the worst in me. I can't stand it. Not you. Maida, not you. Well, all right, so car shopping stinks. What was the resolution on this? But, yeah, and think about it. He starts it off like literally, oh, we're going car shopping. Oh, you're going down, way down. And he goes progressively through worse things. And he hits the bottom, which is the climax. Car shopping is the worst. Oh, you're Hyundai shopping. It's this great story that's told really quickly. One of the things I love is that when Jesus wanted to explain the gospel, and he did a lot of explanation, but when he wanted to say, this is what it's all about, when he got excited about something, it was not about exposition on what the gospel is. It was not about exposition on how it is to be a disciple. It was about this meal. If you look at the scripture, Jesus says this, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you, for I tell you I will, with you before I suffer, for I tell you I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. This Passover that he's about to eat is about to be fulfilled again. He's excited to eat this meal with them because it's pointing towards the kingdom that is about to be inaugurated with his death and resurrection. Jesus didn't give us theology. He gave us a meal. And that meal involves within it the story of what the gospel is and how we should respond to it. That's why we do it. We do it to remember, and we remember in a ancient Near Eastern way, not in a Greek way. The reason I say that, for the Greek, the highest thing was the mind. We have lots of religions that form out of that. And we have some Christian cults that form out of that where all that is good is idea and all that is bad is flesh. Sometimes we end up translating scripture where when it talks about flesh, we turn that into our body. But our body is not, it's fallen, but it's not evil. When Paul talks about the flesh, he's talking about the sinful aspect of us that's there that controls us. But it's not like, if I can get rid of my body, everything's good, because we're going to be raised again. We will not be unembodied spirits. We will be enfleshed humans, glorified like Jesus. We will sit not only, we talk about going to heaven because that's the dwelling place of God, but the reality is we will be on a new earth. We talk about resurrection. So let's talk about, what this meal means. First off, this is a Passover. We so often take the Lord's Supper and we separate it from the Passover, but it was a Passover meal and it's still a Passover meal. What was the Passover meal about? Being rescued. I got a photo for you. Literally, is being rescued and forming a new nation. Israel was in slavery in Egypt, and they cried out to their God, how long? Do you hear us when we cry? How long? And he responded. He set the slaves who had been crying out, God, hear us. He set them free. And for millennia after that, and continuing today, they remember the Passover. They remember the rescue. They remember the establishment of Israel. They remember it by eating this meal. Jesus came to set you free. So often we take Christianity and we turn it into other things. We turn it into a moral code. We turn it into behavioral change. But it is not about either of those, even though those are side aspects that happen. It's about setting us free. Setting us free from the sin that ensnares us. Setting us free from the death that is all around us. Setting us free from the fact that we have no hope outside of Him. We forget that over and over again, and we turn it into so many other things. Christianity is not about you coming to church. We come to church to remind each other He has set us free. Christianity is not about you going to small groups. We go to small groups to remind each other that He has set us free. We become the community of the redeemed, and we remind each other, and we help each other exercise that freedom more and more. And we should fight against everything that begins to enslave us. Paul says in Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And we are really good at picking up yokes. The second something starts to happen, we will pick up a yoke of slavery rather than leaning into freedom. Freedom is hard. Freedom is difficult. Freedom, it doesn't give us a set rule. Slavery does. When we eat this meal, it is a reminder that He has set us free. And I'm using the word us over and over again. It's not just you. It's us as a group. Sometimes we take Christianity and we turn it into self-fulfillment. My personal Savior. Well, He is your Savior, but He's our Savior also. He didn't call you just to be yourself. He called you to be a part of the church where the person beside you needs you. Guys, He came to set us free. This story first is a story of salvation and freedom. He did it in the Passover meal, and He continues to do it. This is my body. This is my blood of the new covenant. Next thing. It's a story of suffering. Our salvation comes through suffering.
Through what?
Through suffering. And I don't mean by that our suffering. It comes by us proclaiming the suffering God to be Lord. The problem with that is He calls us to be like Him. We so often try to escape suffering. And in Christianity, we try to turn it away from that of we have been set free. And we have been set free. But we've been set free to join in His suffering. That's my problem with, if you follow the church world at all, there's this thing called the prosperity gospel. If you don't follow the church world at all, if you've ever seen a televangelist, they're pretty much about the prosperity gospel. And it is, if you believe in Jesus, then all of these good things are going to happen. If you, truthfully, if I was a prosperity gospel preacher, either you guys wouldn't be here or I wouldn't be struggling with shopping for a car because the price wouldn't matter at that point. Because the way it works is if you give me money, then God's going to make you prosper. But if you read the gospel, Jesus suffered and those who proclaim Him to be Lord joined in His suffering. The apostles, the sent ones, which is what apostles mean. How many of them died for their faith? All of them. One died in prison. He wasn't purposely killed. John was the only one who was not purposely executed. He died on an island in prison, an island known as Patmos. All the others were killed for their faith. I could be wrong, but I interpret that as suffering, not prosperity. I feel bad. Matthias, you may not remember his name. He's the one who is added to replace Judas. There's like one mention of him in all of Scripture. I kind of feel bad for him because it's like, yay, I get to take Judas' spot. I'm an apostle. And the only other thing we know about him is he died. That's it. This story calls us to join in His suffering. Here. Scripture says in Isaiah, this is a description that will be given to Jesus. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. When we eat this meal, we not only remember that he came to set us free, but we participate in a story that says it was his suffering that set us free. And he's called us to be a part of that. He's called us to join in on that. And that's the last part, I believe, that's a part of the story. And that is that there's an invitation that's there. Jesus says that we do this to remember him. We do this to remember him. So often we think of memory as this cognitive thing of remembering facts. Do you remember, think of all the facts that you've forgotten that you may have studied for school. There are a lot of things I studied in high school that I couldn't tell you anything about anymore, but I aced the test. That's not memory. That's memorization. But we are supposed to be a community of memory. And what that means is you live out what you know. We remember that he set us free. We remember that he suffered for us. And we live that out. See, the Lord's Supper calls us to participate, not in just the Lord's Supper, but in his life. Scripture says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. If we're honest, we don't like to suffer. But if you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, you are proclaiming a God who was crucified to be the example and initiator of all that life is. Yes. I bring this up because it's this wonderful, perfect story. We do it as a ritual, but it is supposed to be this thing that reminds us and reminds us in such a way that when we leave here, we live out a little bit more of his freedom. We live out a little bit more of his suffering. We live out a little bit more of joining with him. When you eat this bread and when you taste this Welch's, I hope that the senses sear into your mind and into your heart, Jesus is Lord and I will live with him. Does anybody have anything to add before I close this out? Okay. The reason I didn't end the way I normally would is because the ending part of the sermon is this. So we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And what I would ask you to do is, because Paul says that we should not lightly enter with the Lord's Supper, we're going to take a minute and just allow each person to kind of ask God to search their heart. Paul specifically says that, you know, if you eat it in an unworthy fashion, that there are sicknesses that happen and such. So what we want to do is just take a moment and say, God, search me and know me, and then ask forgiveness. And the great thing is, it is for freedom that he sets you free. He's a forgiving God. So would you join with me? Most gracious God, search us and know us. Point out any wickedness in us and forgive us. I pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to grab the whatever Purell. There we go. I couldn't think of it. And unfortunately, I have not gotten a new spigot, so I'm going to have to do like I did last time. If you would like, when I wipe it on your hands, I will say, bless you, child, because this makes me feel more like a priest than any other thing I've ever done in my life. On the night that he was betrayed, which is so amazing that it was on that night, the Lord took the bread that would have been a part of the Passover meal. The meal where he and his disciples remembered God's salvation of Israel. He took that bread that was meant to remember that salvation. He gave thanks for it. He broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which was broken for you." He then took the cup. He gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant which has been spilled for you." And then he said, "Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me." So today we eat and we remember. And we remember so that we can leave this place and live out that memory. When you are ready, please come forward. I will serve you, and then I would ask that you serve the next person. And all I ask is that when you give them a piece of bread, you ask them to remember. We're going to have a little prayer that's going to be playing as a video behind it. But you can come up here anytime you want.
Go now in the joy of knowing that you have been included. Included at the table. Included at God's table. Included in our common life. Included in the life of God. In the life shared by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let's sing for joy.
Go in the joy of knowing that you have been included in the inner life of the God who is love. Go. Find joy in telling others that they too are included.
May God be gracious to us. Make His face shine down. May God be gracious to us and make His ways known. Let's sing.
Go. Find joy in bringing all to God's table. Do not be afraid, for God has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You are included.
May God be gracious to us, make His face shine.
Thank you for being here today. My encouragement is just simply this. Remember. Go out and live lives that remember. And may somebody learn and know the truth because you remember. If you are wanting to be a member of Tapestry, one, I'd be very thankful for you to be a member of Tapestry, but we're going to meet here today for pretty quickly. I mean, when I say quickly, it's usually about an hour and a half. We're going to do it about 45 minutes. That way, because I couldn't get lunch. Then you're welcome to come to Pam and I's house for a shower. And I'm inviting you, even though I won't be there. Anybody else have anything to add? Okay, if you would join me in our closing prayer then. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go in the name of the God who remembers you. And remember Him. Let's tear down. You do not have to tear down a chair or a table other than the big square tables. Other than that,